we turn to God's word tonight. We come again to Psalm 119, and we'll read the first eight verses. Psalm 119, and we'll read the first eight verses. Let us hear God's word. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Well, tonight, as we return to this series on Psalm 119, we come to verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 and verse 5. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Dear congregation, the children of Israel were exhorted in Deuteronomy chapter 6 to love the Lord and to have a great respect for his commands in their heart. We read in the 6th chapter in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. They were to so love the Lord. And dear brethren, let our love be so stirred tonight, let our love be aroused towards the Lord, and let us have a great esteem for his commands in our hearts. Let them be received within, let them be loved, and let us seek to diligently keep them with our whole hearts. We read in verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. How we need to ask God for help in so doing. And we notice here in the psalm in verse 5 that these words of praise are made a prayer. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Here's the psalmist, having considered the Lord and his commands, now asks the Lord for help. Now, in the first three verses, we have here set forth and underlined that the godly man is blessed. He's described in the first three verses. Just notice verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. The true child of God, one who is seeking to walk in a godly way, is so described. And they are blessed. Well, having given this description, the psalmist seeks to enforce that one should earnestly seek to walk in that way which God hath set forth. We consider the blessed man walking in God's way. The psalmist now seeks to enforce that one should earnestly seek to walk in that way. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. He considers God. And he exhorts his hearers to so consider God. Consider God, he is sovereign. Therefore, you are to walk in his ways. And then comes verse 5. He earnestly begs God for help. Well, let's come directly to these words tonight. Firstly, let's consider the lawgiver who commands. The lawgiver who commands. And as we consider the God, as we consider God rather, let us seek to so walk in his ways. And then secondly, the godly man's response. The godly man's response, and we see that in verse 5. The lawgiver who commands, and secondly, the godly man's response. Well, verse 4, first of all. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Thou hast commanded. You see the psalmist here, he's bringing to the attention of the hearer the truth about God. And that he is the lawgiver, the one that commands. Thou hast commanded. And as we think of living our lives in this world, as we think of perfecting holiness in the fear of God, as we see in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, let us remember the Lord who has commanded us to so walk. He is the lawgiver, the great lawgiver. In Isaiah 33, verse 22, we read, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. But to consider him, he's our judge, he's over, he's the judge, he's the lawgiver, he's our king. He will reign over us and he will defend us, he will save us. And then over in the New Testament, James 4, verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest a lover? And there James is seeking, like the psalmist here, to draw the attention of the hearers to consider the lawgiver. And all that men in this nation will consider the Lord, that he is the Lord, lawgiver. Now let's tonight, as we think that the Lord is the lawgiver, consider why he has the right to command and what makes him perfectly capable of so doing. Well, let's open this up tonight. Let's consider firstly, he is sovereign. Thou hast commanded us. We're considering God. He's the lawgiver. And he has the right to be the lawgiver because he is sovereign. He is supreme. He is God. In 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 we read, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. One God, and he's sovereign. And did you note those words there? Of whom are all things, and we in him, by whom are all things, considering Christ now, and we by him. We consider him. He's over. He's sovereign. In those words in Romans 11, verse 34, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who have been his counsellor, who have first given to him, and it shall be recompense unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And see there how the apostle reasons. Who have been his counsellor, or who have first given to him? No one, because he's God. He is supreme. He is sovereign. For of him and through him and to him are all things. Oh, focus the eye on upon the Lord tonight. Listen to Professor B.B. Warfield. It begins, it centers, and it ends with the vision of God in his glory. And it sets itself before all things to render God his rights in every sphere of life activity. He's God. He's sovereign. He has every right to command you and me. And then consider he is our maker. We've come before the Lord our maker tonight. You remember those words in Psalm 95 verse 6. Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. We're coming before him. And we come humbly because he is so holy. And we come in that posture of humility and respect for him. We come and we bow down because he's our maker. He has the right to command. All should bow. We must bow. And dear brethren, in times of worship, we're to bow to him. And then each and every day, let us bow to the Lord. He is supreme. He has the right. We must not question. The Puritan Elisha Coles writes that the great God, blessed forever, hath an absolute power and right to dominion over his creatures, to dispose and determine of them as seemeth him God. He is sovereign. And all of Ben would recognize that today. People think they can ignore God. In this country, we see many taking things into their own hands, disregarding his day, disregarding many other laws. Think about what has happened in view of marriage. God has been put to one side in the faults of many. But all that they would remember and all that they would be warned, he is sovereign and he will deal. He's supreme. Therefore, he has the right to command. But let's move on and consider secondly, as we think that he is perfectly capable of commanding. Secondly, he is infinitely holy and righteous. He is infinitely holy and righteous. Thou hast commanded us. He was and he is capable of commanding because he's infinitely holy and righteous. None can point the finger at him. He's pure. He's holy. He's righteous. In Psalm 92 verse 15 we read, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. He knew what was right, and he knew what would be sinful in eternity before this world was made. When he commanded, as it were, right then in eternity, he knew what was right and he knew what would be sinful in time in this world. He is therefore capable of commanding. He's so pure, so holy. Therefore, his commandments are pure and holy. As we think of the lawgiver tonight, he's infinitely holy. So he was able to command, and so he does today. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 we read, he is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And as we think of this, we know with the psalmist that he has the right to command. No one can truly point the finger at him. No one can truly question him or reason, was he right to so command? No, because he was and he is infinitely holy and pure. Thou hast commanded us. Thirdly, following on, he's infinitely wise. Therefore, he was perfectly capable and is in commanding us. Psalm 147 verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And consider how he framed the law in infinite wisdom. It's amazing to think what he was doing in eternity before this world was made. There's a number of things he was doing, many things he was doing. He was rejoicing in the Son. He was receiving the praise as we think of the Father. The covenant of grace was made. He chose a people. On we could go. He framed the law. And he framed it because he was infinitely wise. The whole of the law was framed in his infinite wisdom, and there's no defects in his wisdom. What wisdom is lodged in the nature of God? Just consider creation. What wisdom, how he so made things. And then consider providence. And as we admire the infinite wisdom of God, we can say all things work together for good. All things. And then consider redemption. What infinite wisdom. He so planned. Well, in view of his infinite wisdom, he has the right. And he was and is capable of commanding. His commands are just. His commands are perfect because of his infinite wisdom. And we're to recognize this as we come to the Ten Commandments and all that comes under those commandments. In Nehemiah's day, the Levites said this in prayer, Nehemiah 9 verse 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You see there, the Levites, they recognized that they were true laws, good statutes and commandments. They recognized the wisdom of God. They were good statutes, good and true. And no wonder, because God is infinitely wise. He knows what is right. He knows what is right for his glory, how he will be glorified. He knows what is right for us. Oh, consider your lawgiver. Thou hast commanded. And as we think of him tonight, we are to obey. And the commands are to be obeyed out of love to Christ. Let there be no confusion in these days, yet there is. In 1 Corinthians 9 verse 21 we read, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Under the law to Christ. We're not seeking to be saved, are we, by the keeping of the commandments? No, because we fall short. Only Christ kept the law perfectly. But out of love to Christ, we seek to keep the law. We reject antinomianism. Thou hast commanded us. And we reject antinomianism, especially today in the form of New Covenant theology. What do we read here? Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Dear brethren, God commands because he has the authority. Now, before we move to our second point tonight, let's just now for a moment consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Church. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. In Psalm 2, verse 6, we read, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. He's the King that was designated in eternity, appointed and set upon the holy hill. He's the King of the Church, having been solemnly installed after he ascended up into heaven and sat down. Consider him. He is sovereign over the Church. He wears the crown of pure gold. Those lovely words in Psalm 21. Thou settest the crown of pure gold on his head. And we think there of the Father crowning the Son. For he wears the crown of pure gold. He is the King of Kings. And we're in the presence tonight of the King of Kings. What a thought. And we humbly submit to him. He has the authority. You remember those words in Matthew 28 verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. All authority, he has all the right, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He came to those that were there gathered, and he spake of his right, of his power, of his authority. And he comes again and again to the church today, and through his word he makes plain that he is the King that wears the crown of pure gold, that he is the one that has the right or the authority. He declares it to be so. They're familiar words. Oh, how we need to think often of those words and remember them. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, all authority. He has the right. He, the exalted King, having accomplished redemption, has the authority. He did, but it's particularly declared here in Matthew 28. And it was given in a special way to Christ as a reward for his sufferings. All power is given unto me. Consider him tonight on the throne. Oh, to just look into heaven. One day the wait will be over and we'll get into heaven. But oh, just to look into heaven now and to admire the King sat there in glory. The one who is receiving the praise. The one who has the authority, the right. All power. And as we think of this, he's the lawgiver of the church. He has the authority for settling all the affairs of the church. He appointed the offices, and the officers he appoints to serve in those appointments. He's the King. And is this not seen in Isaiah 9 and verse 6? For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government should be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They're well known words, aren't they? They speak volumes. There's Christ the King, the one who came. And he who's on the throne, and upon his shoulder is the government, or the rule. He commands. Remember it, dear brethren, the King and head of the church has the government upon his shoulder. He commands, and his name is Wonderful. Oh, we can think so much of that name. Well, think of it in the light of this tonight, as the one who rules. Is he not wonderful? Just commands. What a head we have. And then he's the Counselor. Do not we see there he is perfectly capable of leading the church? He is perfectly capable of commanding because he is the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He is God, the Everlasting Father. Such care he has for his subjects and puts upon them no more than they can bear. And he is the Prince of Peace. Consider his authority. Thou hast commanded us. Here's the church responding to the King. King Jesus, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. You remember what he said not long before he left this world, setting forth his authority. Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, amen. Think of his command to go. Is the church to go and teach all nations, baptizing them? And then his command to observe. The command to go, verse 19. And the command to observe, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then comes his promise. Though I am with you. What a promise that is. But let's think of his authority there. The command to go and the command to observe. Teaching them to observe all things. He is the one that is over the church. In every area of the church's life, he is over all our lives as well. We consider there often the regulative principle, the divine law for worship, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We're not Lutherans on this point, are we? Neither are we Anglicans. We're Calvinists and we're Reformed. And we believe in the regulative principle set forth by Christ there, the divine law for worship. The Lord makes it plain we must have scriptural warrant for everything we do. And what scripture does not prescribe, it forbids. That's very plain then, isn't it? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And scriptural prescription will take the form of express, positive commands or definite, approved examples, as we see in Acts 20 and verse 7. And it's our place, and it's the place of everyone, and it's the place of all ministers to submit to the King. Whatsoever I have commanded you. It's very simple, isn't it? There needs to be a recovery on this. We look to the King and we bow to the King, not to the traditions of men, but we bow to the King. Listen to Thomas Manton. God loveth to be the appointer of his own services and can best prescribe the way of his own worship. He is the King. Consider Christ. He's the King. And he can best prescribe the way of his own worship. He is the King and head of the church. Dear brethren, let's submit to him. He is the lawgiver. Now we read here, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Thou hast commanded us to to keep them diligently. The word diligently, meod, speaks of that being done with speed, or wholly, or vehemently. There's energy here in this word. It's not a casual response. No, we're to sow with such zeal and earnestness. Keep the commands of God. The Lord speaks. Oh, let our hearts be touched, and let us earnestly seek to keep. Let us bow the knee and submit unto him, and so desire to follow him. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Dear brethren, we know what we're to be doing. I've often said these words from Micah 6, verse 8. They're precious words, aren't they? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? He showed us, dear brethren. And that's what we see here. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. The lawgiver who is supreme, Christ who is the King and head of the church, has showed us. Let us humbly submit to him. Well, as we close tonight, let's consider secondly, the godly man's response. The godly man's response. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Firstly, the psalmist recognises God's authority. Now we've spent a while, haven't we, considering the sovereignty of God. We considered the authority of Christ. Well, here the psalmist, he recognises it. And dear brethren, we need to recognise it again and again. Thou hast commanded us. Here's the psalmist. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's paused and he's considered God and his authority. Thou hast commanded us. Dear brethren, we're not our own, are we? My mother used to say that often to me as I used to go out to the door. Remember, we're not your own. Remember whose you are. We're not our own, are we? God has the right. He is sovereign. In every situation we face, we are to recognise the sovereignty of God. Thou hast commanded. Here's the psalmist responding, and here's the psalmist exhorting others to so live that godly life. And he enforces it by saying, thou hast commanded us. So when we come to a particular situation, what does the Lord say? You know, we can be so quick to consider, this is what I'm to do. This is what I want to do. What would the Lord have me do? How am I to react in this situation? What am I to do? We're to think often of the Ten Commandments. It's a vast subject, isn't it? You know, if we really thought about this, we should be thinking about every commandment every day. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. We're to think about the commands and all that comes under the Ten Commandments in recognizing God's authority. We must not be like Jonah, who tried to run. Nor like Peter, who tried to hide. We are to recognise God's authority. This is what God would have me do in this situation. And we need to be ready to listen to God. Psalm 85 verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. I will hear. I'm responding to the Lord. I'm going to listen. Remember Samuel? We had this Monday evening in North Wiltshire. A few comments on these words. He knew it was the Lord speaking. Speak for thy servant hearer. I've come to a situation in my life. Thou art the lawgiver. Show me what I'm to do in this way. Which command I'm particularly to consider. Speak, Lord. Thou art the Lord of my life. Thou art King. To thee I will bow. So when we consider the godly man's response, first of all, he recognises God's authority. Secondly, and simply, David responded in a right way. The godly man will respond or seek to respond in a right way. Many close their ears and will not submit. Remember those words in Luke 19, verse 14? But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have this man." And many are saying that today. They hear the gospel. I do not need Jesus Christ. What a solemn thing to say. We will not have this man to reign over us. Many Jews have said it. In light of that verse there in Luke 19, many others as well. Sadly, some even in the church. They can pay lip service, but we don't want those things that the Lord has taught. Many try to go in the opposite direction. Many will not submit to the divine law of worship. We will not have this man to reign over us. You know, when I think of the Lord, are we not so thankful that he has the authority and that he has so commanded? Left to ourselves, it would be chaos, wouldn't it? The church would be like dust, a wilderness, a pile of bricks. But it's in God's hands, it's in the King's hands. He's commanded. Oh, I don't want to disobey him. I don't want to make my own laws, as it were. No. But sadly, some will not submit to him. But then let's consider our own lives. Can we begin to turn away our ears and say, "Do I have to?" When I was a boy, I used to say that often to my mum. "Do I have to? Can you go and lay the table? Do I have to? Can you go and do the washing up after tea? Do I have to? Can you go and tidy your room? Do I have to?" I used to say it often. Oh, if I only said, "Yes, I will, Mum," more often. But do we say that even subconsciously to the Lord? We come to a situation. Do I have to? Do I have to keep the Sabbath day? What about something comes up? Do I have to? Maybe something else. Do I have to love others? Do I have to? Do we ever begin to question the lawgiver? Perhaps when we're on our own, no one else is watching. Do we begin to question the lawgiver? Oh, at such times we need to turn and respond in a right way. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. I thought on my way. There's the psalmist. He sat down. What have I done? Oh, I must turn. And I must respond in the right way. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. The godly man's response will be this. He will seek to respond in a right way, recognizing that God is supreme. Thirdly, we're nearly done. Responding in love. Responding in love. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. A whole heart, my son, give me thine heart. And our love is to flow towards the Lord. I love thee, so I will worship thee. I love thee, so I will keep thy day. I love thee, so I will not entertain bitter thoughts. I love thee, so I will watch what I watch on the television. I will keep an eye on what I do. I will not cover it after the things of this world, because I love the Lord. How do we respond? Do we respond in love? With our whole heart, with our whole soul, not hiding a little. And with our whole might. It takes effort to exercise love, doesn't it? God expects us to so exercise love in our hearts as we think of the commands. With all thy might, every effort, as it were, into loving the Lord. Matthew 22, verse 26, remember that one came and said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Loving the Lord. How are we to respond? By loving the Lord. And showing that we love him by seeking to keep the commandments. Remember those words of Christ, John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commands. If ye love me. Or just think of Jesus at this moment. He's the King and Head of the Church. He is the one who is altogether lovely. He's so wonderful, isn't he? We thought of that tonight. He's wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's altogether lovely. Do not we want to obey him? Consider what he has done for you. How he has so loved you. Do not you want to obey him? Love in the heart. Think of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. This is how we're to respond. Lord, I love thee, Lord Jesus. And I want this day to be special for thy glory. And I want to know the great blessing of this day. I love thee, Lord. We think of the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. I love thee, Lord. So I want pure thoughts. I want heavenly thoughts, right and proper thoughts. I want a guard over my eyes because I love thee, Lord Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Lord, that we'd be more often talking to Jesus about the way we ought to live and the thing we ought to do. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. This heavenly conversation and this heavenly meditation on Christ. Oh, talk to your beloved as you think of the commandments. Talk to your King as you think of the regulative principle. If you love me, keep my commandments. You see, Jesus seeks to challenge your love. And he's got every right to do so, hasn't he? Because he's suffering. You remember how Peter felt it? He would not put God first. He broke the first commandment at that point. And Jesus came and questioned Peter. Oh, let Jesus question me every day. Let me feel him questioning me. If ye love me. He says it to believers. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And the godly man will seek to be saved. I love the Lord, so I will run the way of thy commands. Oh, let love be aroused. Let love be in motion. And let love be in action. The heart stirred and the feet turned. And the believer walking in the way of the commandments. Oh, to think of Jesus more often. Is that not an aid to a godly life? We need to think of Jesus more often. I begin with myself. How little I have thought of Jesus this day. Oh, to think of Jesus more often. Thou hast commanded. Here's the psalmist. He begins with God. Oh, to begin with God, to begin with Christ. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And my heart is so full of love. I fail thee, but I want to keep thy commandments. And fourthly and finally, praying for help. Let's just begin tonight with verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Here's the psalmist. He's praying for help. He's sensible of his own weakness to obey God. And he prays for help. Oh, do not we entreat the Lord. Help me, Lord. Love is aroused and one finds himself praying. Help me, Lord. Thomas Manton wrote, in the former verse he had spoken of God's authority. Now he beggeth grace to obey. It's one thing to consider God's authority, it's another thing to obey, isn't it? That's the hard part often, isn't it? Oh, for grace to obey. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Here's the psalmist. He's lost in wonder at the lawgiver. And he so loves the lawgiver. Oh, to be lost in wonder at the lawgiver. And to have a heart so in love with Jesus. That we find ourselves asking, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Pray for help. Focus your eye on Christ. Be full of love towards him. And pray for help. Pray for help. Show to the Lord that you're willing to obey him. Remember those words one of old wrote, Master, speak and make me ready. When thy voice is truly heard, with obedience glad and steady, still to follow every word, I am listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak, oh, speak to me. And there that one considers that they want the Lord to so speak to them, as it were, forget everybody else and everything else, and focus your eye on the Lord and pray, speak to me. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. My ways, the way that is before me, that my feet might so walk that way in thy word. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's our desire, isn't it? Let the Lord see your desire tonight. You, like me, will fail. None of us keeps the law perfectly, do we? If we're guilty at one point, we're guilty of all. We're guilty of all the commandments, then, aren't we? But it's our desire to walk in God's ways. Let the lawgiver see your heart tonight and see your humble prayer to be directed in the way of God. Think of the lawgiver. Unless you do not you find yourself loving him. He's just, he's pure, and you want to so follow him. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen.